They think they're smart, but what do they know? It's Hector and Krish, the pedestrian show.
They changed their name just for you, but what do they know? They still got sued.
The pedestrians, download Stitcher iTunes. The pedestrians, it's the one without a review.
Their friends make jokes at their expense, but the biggest laughs on the audience.
So sit right back, grab a beer, you're gonna need it, Shreether is here.
The pedestrians, download Stitcher iTunes. The pedestrians, won't you leave a review?
Hi, thanks for downloading another episode of the Podestrian Podcast. This is episode 43, recorded on April 3rd, 2018, with our good friends John Skalski and Max McCall. This is really the first half of our conversation. Stay tuned next week for the other half. Christian and I, we're taking a little break soon. We're going to have a couple more episodes, and then we're going to take a little hiatus. But don't unsubscribe. We're still around. We're going to have things coming down the pipeline or the factory manufacturing conveyor belt pretty soon. And we just want to say thank you all for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for coming out to our live shows. Those were a lot of fun. We just had our last live show a couple weeks ago, and it was just so much fun. I just want to say thank you to Endgames Improv for being such a wonderful community of improvisers and comedians. Thank you to the city of San Francisco and Oakland for being wonderful patrons. And one last bit, our guest, our very good friend and guest, former guest, Shreether Ramesh, is moving out to New York. And we just want to say good luck. We're going to miss you. See how well you do without us. If it doesn't work out, you're always welcome back home. We won't remind you of your failure in New York. Also, check out Max and John at Uncertainty Principle every other Wednesday at Stageworks Theater at 10 p.m. Max has started a new podcast that I've been on. It's you can find it at automataimprov.com.
Automataimprov.com.
Check.
Hi, welcome to the Podestrians
Podcast. That was Krish.
That was Hector.
We're in our special Krish hole.
That's what we call this, the Krish hole.
Yeah, we're back in Krish's apartment. Mm-hmm. We keep saying studio, but it's not a studio. But it is. It's like a two bedroom.
It's a recording studio. It's not a studio apartment.
Yeah, it's not a studio apartment. Yeah. But it's nice. It's very nice. But we have our home set up. Mm-hmm. It's been a while, Krish.
It has been. How have you been?
That's a good question. I was not ready for this. I was like, okay, we're gonna come on the podcast, we're gonna bullshit for a while, but now this is like a real question. And I think I've been okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not the greatest, but not the worst. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in the middle.
Cool.
I feel like there should be I wish there was a more like common way to be like, hey, I'm doing it like normal. Yeah. Usually people have to say, like, hey, I'm doing great, or, like...
Yeah, there's, like, the difficulty in being allowed to... having permission to answer that question honestly.
Yeah.
That's always so tough.
Yeah, you know? It's like, I'm doing okay. Not the best, but not,
I always have to figure out, like, how can I phrase this so that it sounds positive? Oh, I'm on an upswing, which basically... there was nowhere lower to go, so...
Yeah.
I'm on an upswing now, yeah.
I hit rock bottom, and now I'm coming back up. Yeah, and why is it that we do that? It's to make the other people feel a little better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it would be an interesting culture, if somebody, if you ask somebody how they were, and you just actually have to tell them, my boss is thinking of firing me. I work 12 hours a day. That's a little bit of a...
I feel like that's...
Yeah. Now that we've been talking for an hour, how are you?
Exactly. I'm doing so-so. How about you, Krish?
I'm on an upswing.
Yeah. Boy, that makes me feel a lot better. I was getting worried. I'm like, oh, God, I hope he says doesn't say anything about his boss and his work. I'm going to feel very uncomfortable. but this is great. I'm really happy to be back here and doing this with you. I know that, like, we're kind of like, you know, we're going through a transition period.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah. Yeah. We're changing things up.
We're going to change things up, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to keep doing this, you know, like, intermittently. Mm-hmm. Our live shows are changing.
Yes, in the fact that they're no longer going to be live.
They're no longer going to be live. But not for a while.
Not for a while. We're going to experiment.
Yeah, we're going to experiment. But you know, while we're getting there, mm-hmm. we're going to keep doing this. We're going to have our friends come on and talk to us. Yeah.
What better way to say, oh, hey, do you want to hang out with us and be aired on, like, international, like, podcast?
Do you think this is, like, the new way that people, like, instead of, like, Netflix and chill, like, people are like, you want to do a podcast?
Podcast and chat, yeah.
Podcast. Is this, like, yeah, is this for, like, a hookup? You know, it's like, you up, want a podcast and chat? Yeah. But that said, we do have two of our very good friends.
That's right. Max McCall and John Skulski.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, everybody.
What's going on?
These are two fantastic friends, two awesome anomalies, two badass boys.
You can do the whole alphabet?
Yeah. two Christian children.
Two deuterific dudes.
Two elephantine electrolytes.
Chris, when you said international a little while ago, what are your hits? What are you pulling?
Oh,
internationally, you got like
international. We are on iTunes. The I stands for international. International tunes. You know, it's everywhere. Yeah.
But wait, do we have people from?
You must have at least some, right?
There's probably somebody from Germany listening to this.
Germany?
Right? Yeah. I'm pretty sure I saw Germany.
That's huge. Yeah.
That's big.
Yeah. They're known for humor.
If you can make a German laugh, you're doing something right.
I know. Yeah. But there's no guarantee that we're making them laugh.
You think they're just listening at you morosely?
Stuck in traffic.
And we certainly had some Scottish listeners. Oh, the ones who tried to sue us.
That's true,
I didn't know they were Scottish. That's a whole other layer to it.
Yes.
Yeah. Were they Scottish?
I don't know if they were Scottish.
Yeah, no, you're right. They had like a
But
like
they had some sort of accent. UK accent. Yeah.
Did you talk to them?
No, but I listened to their podcast.
But that makes sense. Yeah. I was like, well, how would you have heard their voice?
I felt like we were justified in, like, continuing what we were doing because we were making something and they weren't doing anything.
They didn't even have a website anymore. We used to have a website and we're trying to get sponsors so that we can start a show again.
Yeah, exactly. So, but the thing is, like,
you're over here and you don't even have any sponsors.
Well, we're loaded with sponsors. Yeah.
We pay them.
You can. There's a sponsor mill that you can just pay. How are y'all?
I'm good. I feel bad saying that.
You don't have to make us feel good.
I mean it unambiguously. That's the problem.
Look, we just want you to be real. Like, just answer us honestly.
Okay. No matter how sad it might make
you. Yeah, no matter how sad it makes you. So you're doing well.
I'm freshly single. I bought some property and I got a new job. I flipped all my shit.
That's a reshuffle of the deck.
This is the game of life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. You're taking. And what about? Yeah. And how about you, John?
Yeah. No, I'm good. Things are going well. I'm happy to be alive.
It feels like you're on an upswing.
You're on an upswing. Yeah.
No, things are good, and I'm excited to be here. I'm thankful for you guys to invite us out, and
this is always good.
Yeah, this is a pleasant experience.
That's what we aim for.
Pleasantness.
Tepid water. Can we offer you
not too
room,
much
room temperature water?
You don't want to get a glass of water and have to, like, sit it on the table so it warms up a little bit.
Exactly.
But while it does that, it also, like, you know, there's the pH changes slightly, right? It becomes a little bit alkaline.
With the ice?
With the room
temperature.
Oh, the temperature, sorry. I was thinking when somebody is at your house and you offer them water, if you should put ice in their glass or not.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good question. What's your?
I like ice, so I'm gonna. I'll ask.
You'll probably ask. You won't go by default.
I think it's better to not put it in because you can always add it later, right? If somebody could request it, but if you put it in ice and somebody doesn't want it, it's awkward to remove the ice.
It's over, especially when they splash it in your face. Face.
I'm on the other side of this because I feel like ice is the norm, and maybe it's not like. I don't know. Maybe it's just sort of like a weird norm that I grew up with, but I feel like ice should be the norm. Like ice water. Like this is, we're in the 21st century. We should be drinking iced water and not, you know, like not just room temperature water.
I just drink it cold straight out of the tap.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't put ice in there. It feels like crowded with ice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can see it. Because the best glass of ice water is after it melts a little bit.
Right.
And it's like half ice water, half ice.
Yeah.
I remember hearing this, but there's one of these puzzles that you hear. It's like this two people have the exact same drink. One of them drinks it really quickly and lives, the other one drinks it slowly and dies. And what's the difference? And it turns out that there's poison in the ice. So ever since then, like I can't help but associate ice with poison. Mm. And so I just can't have, like, what if there's poison in this ice? I need to drink this water as quickly as possible.
What is the idea that the water, like they made ice cubes and filled them with like water halfway and then froze it and then like put a little drop of poison in there and then like filled it up and froze it the rest of the way so that it would like melt down and it would only come out in the middle.
Yeah.
Or are they saying like it's all mixed together with the
and
water?
It's dilute.
Yeah. It's just not enough poison.
There's like a certain level like which it becomes like toxic. Yeah.
This.
Also, what a bad plan.
It is a bad plan.
I don't know. This feels like something like considering like there's all that Russian poisoning happening right now. Like what a good, you know, like what a good way to like make the other person think you're safe. You're like, "Oh, well, we're going to order drinks."
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, and like you drink your drink really fast. And they take their time and slowly you're poisoning them.
It's a game of wits.
It's a game of wits. Yes. You never start a land war in Asia. But yeah, so I mean, okay, that's fair. I don't know. I just feel ice is a very, like, it should be a very normal thing if you have ice. But on the other hand, I do kind of hate the ice that comes out of, like, the refrigerators.
Oh, yeah.
Like the automatic ice.
Mm. I still associate those with being very wealthy. Like,
yeah. That's not the case now.
I don't think so. I've had apartments with fridges that come with it.
But, like, growing up as a kid.
That was.
And I've just still never had one, and I'm 36, and I may never.
Yeah.
And to me, it feels like, I don't know, like I was talking about this the other day, like, do you have things that you realized at some point like were attainable that for a long time you just thought you couldn't have?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, like sex. Thought I'd never have it. And one day.
And then you did.
We'll see.
And you were.
But like, exactly. Like a fridge with the ice machine and also a fridge that opens with two doors.
Barbed wire fridge.
What? Like French doors.
I don't like that.
You don't like it?
Because I can't put an entire tray of something in there.
Yeah.
Oh, that is smart. Okay.
So you're talking about the split. Like one's a freezer, one's a fridge.
Yeah,
yeah, too small.
Yeah.
Too small. Yeah. What you need is the fridge that's double door freeze fridge.
Yeah,
and then freezer.
That's
the drawer.
Great. Yeah. That's yeah.
People don't need the freezer anyway, right? So it's better if it's at the bottom.
Don't need it.
Well, I don't use the freezer as much as I use the fridge.
Yeah. You don't use that's your freezer. True.
I use it to make sorbet.
Yeah. Oh, so it's a sorbet freezer.
It's a sorbet freezer, yeah.
It all depends on how you live.
Yeah. Like, I feel like we're learning. Okay, let's go around the room.
Ooh.
What do you put in your freezer?
I put all the food that I think I want that I'll never eat.
Oh.
That's where it goes.
Yeah. Like cooked food or not cooked food?
Yeah, sometimes like, so there's Trader Joe's is near us, and so there's a lot of prepped food there. So I'm there, I'm a little hungry, get some stuff for dinner, and then I'm like, well, you know what? I bet that would be good. And then it just stays in my freezer until I throw it out to replace it with something else.
Wait, why don't you eat it?
It's just, it's not, I think it's an impulse purchase. Mm-hmm. It's it's not that I want to waste food or anything like that. Eventually, a lot of the stuff finds its way in, but most of the time it spends its life in the the fridge.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Neglected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about you?
Well, I eat frozen breakfast sausage every morning.
Because do you eat it frozen?
No. I put it in a glass of water as ice.
And it melts in.
Max, was this something that you thought was unobtainable when you were a child? Yeah,
no. my mom got her degree in nutrition, and she was like, you have to eat protein every morning or your brain will die. And this was my, like, what? One consolation to my mom.
What?
In terms of diet, was like, all right, I'll eat protein every morning.
Frozen sauce.
The worst part was, like, when she did that, I was eating mostly vegetarian, and she'd be like, you have to eat protein every morning. I was like, I don't want to make eggs every morning.
Yeah.
And then, like, I always have a couple emergency frozen pizzas. Because you never know when, like, you're going to come home drunk and you need a pizza.
Yep.
I've never had frozen pizzas in my freezer.
Hector, come over.
I've never had frozen pizzas. And it's weird to me because, like, I go to Trader Joe's. I'm like, I see those frozen pizzas. I'm like, I'm not that person. I'm not a person who has frozen. But I buy all sorts of other frozen shit.
Yeah.
I have hash browns. Like, I'll pop a hash brown into the toaster oven every so often.
Say that word again.
Yeah.
Hash browns.
Okay. I like how you emphasize the browns. Hash browns. Like, I usually emphasize the hash. Like,
well,
hash browns.
Of the browns. Of the, like, encyclopedia browns.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you put in your freezer?
Yeah.
Oh, so there's some leftover stuff from my previous roommate and perhaps previous tenants that are still in the freezer that I don't know. One, there's, like, meat stuff that a non-meat eater, I don't know what it is, and I don't know how to get rid of it. I guess I should just throw it away, but it's
that's
also
generally how you get rid of things. Yeah. You can compost meat.
and then there's also, like, some gluten-free bread that I think my previous roommate had. And then a bunch of my stuff, which is, like, I'll put bread in there, sliced bread. I'll put a lot of, like, Trader Joe's. Like, I buy this fried rice that comes in a bag.
I've seen that.
It's really fucking good. It's so good. Then I buy hash browns. How did I say it?
Hash browns.
Hash browns.
Hash browns. I'll buy the Trader Joe's gyoza.
Mm, yeah.
You know, the fried gyoza, the vegetarian ones. I always have like a couple packs in there. That's my to go. That's my pizza. That's my emergency pizza.
See, this is what I'm saying. Like, what you keep in your freezer is all about how you live.
Yeah.
Like, now that I cook a lot,
yeah,
my freezer's just got a couple things in it. But when I didn't cook, the freezer was the bulk of everything. Preparable in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Because it's like you got to have something you can just produce food from quickly, and
I started freezing leftovers. Which I used to never do. Like, I had that butternut squash soup that we had, like, 2 months ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
I just had that the other night, and I thawed it. It was great. I'm still alive. and then, I've just been put, like, some curry that I made a few weeks ago. So, that's what I have in my freezer. What about you, Krish?
I usually, when I make pistachio sorbet, I put them in ice cube trays, and I freeze the ice cube trays. Then I take them out and I crush them in my Vitamix to make the sorbet.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Yeah. So you have to freeze it as ice cubes and then you mix it.
Yeah, I crush the cubes to remove
and then
the
it's
crystals.
Sorbet. And then
do you think I could do it with my much less expensive blender? Or do you think
yes, you can. That's how I started. Nice. And then I broke my blender.
Yeah, and then you were like, I need a real blender for this.
Exactly.
Krish, So when you put liquids in a freezer, what happens is it forms like a some sort of crystalline structure.
Mm-hmm.
But if you freeze it with liquid nitrogen, which is I think what
you know, you gotta warn people when you go into a PhD moment on this podcast. You can't just do it.
No, but we
this
all,
is our PhD moment.
Not smitten, but is it smitten?
It is smitten.
Smitten is one of the ones that like makes it right in front of you.
With liquid nitrogen?
Yeah. With liquid nitrogen, yeah.
The great thing
this
about
is
that
is ice cream?
Yeah. And the great thing about that is because liquid nitrogen is so cold that you can basically bypass that freezing point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it goes into amorphous ice. And so it's not crystalline. It's like it doesn't have time for the water molecules to like crystallize into
amorphous ice was a bad guy on G.I. Joe, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yes. I've always wanted to use liquid nitrogen to make the sorbet. I've never tried it.
How did you get started making sorbet? Like, what?
Oh,
of all the things to make.
I fell in love with this place called Scream Sorbet. It was in the East Bay.
It was right around the from where I lived.
That's right. It was in the Temescal. And it was amazing. They had this one, like, pistachio sorbet that, like, the flavor was out of this world. It was featured in the New York Times. It was an article by Charlotte Druckman and, like, this food reporter. I mentioned this because she contacted me years later asking me for my pistachio sorbet recipe and whether I knew the guy who made it.
Wait.
There's, like,
from the New York Times?
The New York Times food critic emailed you for your pistachio sorbet? How is this not, like, on every bio of you? Can we put that in your teacher bio?
You can put that in my teacher bio. Okay. I fell in love with this place. I take every single person when they had opened a storefront in the Temescal. I take everyone there, and it would just be this favorite thing to do. And I kept doing it. It opened in 2010, and I did it like every year. And then 2013, I was taking a friend there. I go to the storefront, and it says closed due to health code violation.
Ooh.
And like I just never felt like a loss for food. It was like a death in the family.
Yeah.
And like that's what I felt in that moment. I'm like, oh my, like, where did it go? And I went online and they said, well, we were closed for a health code violation, but it's not actually a health code violation. We didn't renew our health permit because we're going out of business. And
they have to put up that sign.
They had to put up that sign. And then it never reopened. And
Jesus.
And I was just like, every once in a while I'd just go online and I'd search for it. And then, you know, I love this flavor. And I just like, every once in a while, I was like, you know what? I miss this flavor. And I knew there were four ingredients because I would see it. I was like, there was four ingredients, pistachio, sugar, water, and salt. And that also just blew my mind. Like, how do you get it to be so creamy? And it was all from the fat and the nut. And so I started like wondering about this. And it was like a few years ago, I was going to go to my cousin's place for Thanksgiving. And my cousin was the one who initially told me about this. She sent me the New York Times article and asked me, have you actually tried this sorbet out? And I hadn't at the time. And so I decided, why don't I just search for a random sorbet recipe online and go with that? So I did, and I went to this website called thejoyofblending.com, and they had a recipe for a pistachio sorbet. Four ingredients, pistachio, sugar, water, and salt. And I thought, oh, that's interesting.
Can I ask, this blog, this website, is it based in Marin?
It might well be. Okay. It sounds like a Marin.
Yeah.
The Joy of Blending. And they got the recipe from Nathan Kurz, who was the one of the co-founders of Scream Sorbet, the one that was featured in the New York Times. I said, oh, that's really interesting. So I started making the sorbet. I started like having these sorbet parties after that and just like making sorbet for people. And then I wrote a blog post about it. And then several months later, I get an email from this New York Times reporter, this food reporter from the New York Times, asking me if I have the contact info for Nathan Kurz.
Oh, that's so great.
Because she's working on she's helping a friend with a recipe book, and she wants to know how can she make it with cheaper equipment than he used. And that's pretty much what I was doing, because he paid for like really expensive equipment, and I'd found a cheaper way to do it using like the tips on thejoyofblending.com, our sponsors this week. I didn't know how to get in touch with him, but I figured, you know what? I don't want to say no, and I kind of do want to get in touch with him. So I like start sleuthing online. And there are like so many Nathan Kurzes, so that's not really helpful. But what I do know is I read the New York Times article, and in it, he used to be a programmer who got into some accident and had some ill fate befall him, after which he lost the ability to write code. And so that's how he got into making sorbet. And so I search online, and eventually I find a GitHub account affiliated with Nathan Kurz, like N. Kurz. And I look at it, and it was created in 2010, no code checked in, 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, until late 2013, about 3 months after Scream Sorbet closes. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I set up a GitHub account at that point, but unfortunately you can't message other people on GitHub, to the best of my knowledge. So I'm like, hey, what am I supposed to do? So I look at the person's code. I like look and I say, oh, okay, this person does some stuff with compiler optimization. So then I type in Nathan Kurz compiler optimization, and I found a blog post that he wrote. I know. And his email address is on it. And I send this person an email and I say, hi, are you the Nathan Kurz of Scream Sorbet? In the meantime, I call up someone I used to date, and I ask her for information. She used to be a food publicist, and apparently she used to date the other co-founder of Scream Sorbet. And but as just before she calls me to kind of give me a response, I get an email back from Nathan Kurz, and it says, "Hi, Krish, you found the right me." and then he proceeds to give me every single one of his recipes.
Whoa,
and then he ends the email, like our email exchange, by saying, you know, more than the loss of my business, my greatest feeling of loss was all of the knowledge that we no longer have on this. So please do with this information as you see fit.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And so that's the story.
That's incredible.
I just want to note for the audience that John was so surprised by this story that his hat is now off.
My hat flew off.
Took off.
I'm impressed by your sleuthing. Uh-huh. I'm impressed by the response. I'm impressed by his like selfless like giving of what some might consider proprietary stuff.
Yeah.
Have you considered writing a cookbook or a recipe book with Nathan Kurz?
That would be wonderful. I would love to do that. Yeah. Nathan, if you're listening right now,
and we know you are.
Yes.
Is it possible to have an accident and lose your ability to code? What is that?
Is it? Yeah.
I was wondering that too.
I don't know. We should read the article.
What do you think the accident would be? Like like you cut yourself while chopping vegetables? Like, I can't compile anymore.
Yeah, it could be a hand thing. Yeah. But I don't feel like you'd keep cooking either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it was like a Brady Bunch football broken nose kind of situation.
It feels like it would have to be a head thing. Yeah. But that's terrifying.
Maybe it's an eye thing.
You could get hit in the head and lose a skill.
Yeah. Mm. That is
scary. Well, lose like a logical way of like thinking, right?
There are like Dungeons and Dragons monsters that can like sap your intelligence, and that's what it makes me think of.
Yeah. I was thinking of like all those like soap operas where somebody gets amnesia.
Yeah.
And they get hit in the head and then they just like forget all like who they are.
And they wake up and they have a twin.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, how come they don't do that in soap operas now where someone has amnesia and they can't code anymore? Wait, are coders, do they have are there characters who are coders in soap operas?
I'm surprised that there are still soap operas because it feels like an old thing.
It does. Mm. It feels like, considering like a lot of TV shows now are kind of like soap operas.
Yeah.
That don't have that strict like live soap opera you know structure, but it's like just as melodramatic.
Are the same ones running, like Days of Our Lives?
Some of them are. Yeah.
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 Well, that's good to know. I mean, you gotta have daytime TV, right? That's gotta be a hard thing to program.
Yeah.
Because it's like
they have their own Emmys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They do have their own Emmys. Which
are there any other awards that have a time of day cutoff?
I feel
best scientist from 10 a.m. to 12.
So there are engineering Emmys in addition to there are daytime Emmys.
Oh, okay,
engineering Emmys, and I know this because YouTube won an Emmy award for some work that I'd done with them back in 2012. And so like I remember like somebody sent me like a congratulatory email, congratulations, and like some of the work that I'd done was cited in this Emmy award, and I was like, what? And I was like, you can win an Emmy for being like for writing code for YouTube.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're technical Emmys, right?
They're technical. Yeah, they're engineering Emmys.
You didn't get a statue though.
I moved from YouTube to Google Fiber at that point.
Yeah.
So they had an award ceremony where a bunch of people I knew were holding the Emmy. In my head, I'm like, why wasn't I invited to this?
Yeah.
There was a part of me that just felt a little
nothing without me.
Yeah. You should post a video on YouTube as demanding acknowledgement.
Oh, yeah. I think I'll be okay not doing that. Yeah.
God, that's funny.
Daytime. I feel like it is weird that daytime, that there's a separate award category. It feels like it's like I don't know. It just feels like it's not. You're not real Emmys. Like
the closest thing I could think of is the Winter Olympics.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's like it has to happen during this time of year or you can't get a medal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like the Winter Olympics is less good than the Summer Olympics? Is that what you're...
No, no. I also don't know if daytime Emmys are less good than nighttime Emmys.
I think, to me, that one has like a very clear...
It's implied.
Sort of like step. Yeah. Like you want to make it to the nighttime
Because they don't call
Emmys.
Them the nighttime Emmys.
Yeah. Do people get dressed up for the daytime Emmys?
They're all in with snuggies.
Flip-flops. Is there a red carpet is what I mean.
Yeah.
Does it happen at night? Do the daytime Emmys happen at night or do they happen during the day?
I don't know.
Well, people got to work during the day.
It must be after us. Then do the nighttime Emmys. No, but the nighttime Emmys also happen at night.
They also happen like...
Yeah, it's because TV is pre-recorded for the most part.
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah.
So you can kind of do it whenever.
That's true. So not like this live podcast.
With the Olympics, I wonder... Did they start calling them the Winter and Summer Olympics after they did the split? Because it used to be that they used to happen in the same year.
Yeah,
yeah, but they still call them Winter and Summer.
They still call them Winter and Summer Olympics.
Yeah, I think like there were no Winter Olympics until they revived the Olympics in the 30s or whatever that was, 20s, 30s. Mm-hmm. I was just reading something about this. Yeah, yeah. And so I think that's when they first like officially split them. But like... I think we all kind of know that the Summer Olympics are the original.
They
Olympics.
Were the original. Yes. Uh-huh. The Athens didn't have
curling.
Slope style.
There was no skeleton in Athens.
There's no skeleton in Athens. But yeah, what is this?
This is good podcasting right now.
We'll edit this in.
I wanted to commiserate about your restaurant loss because I had an event like
strike,
that.
Yeah.
Oh.
When I first moved down here, I was doing a lot. Like, we got into YouTube really early on. We were like putting videos up in like 2005, 2006, and my friend lived in Burlingame, and we would just like film stuff in his apartment. It was like just dumb, wacky jokes and stuff in the middle of the night, getting drunk, enjoying it. And then the next morning, we'd be super hungover. And this was back when it was still like mini DV tapes. So we'd plug the camera into the computer to like load all the data up onto the computer. And then we'd go to breakfast. And we used to go to this restaurant in downtown Burlingame, which was called Chicken Chicken, which is just fantastic.
With a name like that.
Yeah, it was like sort of Jamaican islandy, right?
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And they sold you like the chicken options you had, and then you got two not side dishes, but they called them asides. Oh. That was really great too.
It was all dramatic.
It was definitely like, but did you know? and we would eat there every time, super hungover, and we would like have a big plate of delicious food, and then we'd go back and like watch our video that had uploaded. And one day, we got there, and it had burned down.
Oh, no.
It was just gone. Yeah. And apparently they had, like, a rotisserie fire, which might have also been a G.I. Joe guy. I'm not sure. I'm going to make my own G.I. Joe team. it was just, like, we stood there for, like, 20 minutes just outside this restaurant, just, like... Because you don't know what to do. You have an idea in your head about what's supposed to happen next. So and now it can't happen.
Yeah. Wow.
And it will never happen again.
Yeah.
It was.
There's a lot to process there. Yeah. And you just wanted to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Max, I mean, I feel like you should be inspired by Krish's story to do some sleuthing.
Yes. I want to come to your house and have an aside.
I don't even remember what they cooked anymore. Aside from the chicken, it's been forever. Yeah.
Excuse me, are you the Nathan Kurz of Chicken Chicken?
Yes, Max, you found the right name.
Yeah. They weren't written up in anything, so...
Cat's Bagel, which there's one on 16th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think they do pretty decent bagels for San Francisco. There was one downtown by my office, and I would go there, you know, maybe a couple times a week or something like that. It was a regular, and I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the ritual. And then one day I got there, and there was a sign saying, at the end of this month, we're going to close. Oh. And it was so bummed. And I was just so bummed. And you could tell they weren't doing great business because I was, like, the only person in there a lot of times. And they started to know me, like, right away because they didn't have a ton of customers. And so I was going, and I was trying to get my reps in, right? And
got to get those bagel reps.
My bagel reps.
Yeah.
So it's tomorrow is the day they said they were going to close. So I'm like, okay, this is it. Mm-hmm. And I go and I walk up and there's a sign on the door that said they decided to close one day early.
No!
Oh, what a fuck no. You.
They're like, the staff didn't want to come in and we're done.
Sorry,
it's all right. You know, like, we get through these things, right? And we get through them together. And I think ultimately it brings us closer together.
Yes.
I still miss those bagels.
So it's humanity. Yeah, I hate to sound like a monster, but I don't think I've ever had a thing that, like, I was so sad that it closed.
You're on an upswing.
Yeah.
I'm on an upswing. How are we doing on time?
We should probably have our break.
Yeah, we should probably. Yeah, that's. We're gonna take a break. Yes. But before we do, we know both of you as amazing improvisers. You have an incredible show every other Wednesday at StageWorks.
It's Tuesdays now.
Sorry, yes, but it's Wednesdays in your heart or Mondays.
It's still Mondays in our hearts.
It's Mondays in your heart.
Yeah, Mondays forever.
It was Mondays in your heart, and it moved to Wednesdays, and now it's on Tuesday. It's Mondays forever, but it's on Tuesday.
So the actual day is Tuesday.
We produce the single most confusing improv show, and I take pride in that because that's a high bar.
Well, you know, but the name of your show is called Uncertainty Principle.
So you shouldn't know what day of the week it's on.
We've really leaned into it.
It is one of my favorite shows to perform in and also to play in. To play in and to perform in and also to star in and to be in. Yeah, no, and to watch as
and
well.
To be fair, I think you did star in it once because there was that night that John and I both couldn't make it and you and Jesh hosted it, right?
Oh, is that true?
It was like the third one.
I forgot.
Yeah, it was pretty early in its run.
That. Yeah. Yeah. Josh and I, when we were we Sam and Diane? I think we were
Sam and Diane.
I don't remember what we did. But yeah, I'm sure it was fine.
Yeah.
but yeah, it's you guys are wonderful improvisers. That you can find the two of you there. But where else can we find you? Normally.
So I live in Berkeley. You can hang out with me anytime you want.
Are you the John Skulski of Berkeley?
Yeah, that's me. That's I think amazing. I'm the only one. Yeah, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
Although there is, so I'm John Skulski at Twitter. And there is a recent development. Well, we're probably 2 years in at this point, so not so recent. but a teenager in Arizona whose name is Jonathan Skulski has taken Jonathan Skulski at Twitter and has stopped replying to me. I don't know. I just felt like I should reach out. You know, we have the same name sort of thing. What?
Wait, were you guys communicating?
Yeah, like I was, because I went to go get it for something and so he had it and I was like, hey dude, we have the same name. And we like kind of went back and forth for a little bit and then the just silence.
Yeah.
And then
I hope he's doing well.
Realized you were an adult talking to a teenager through the internet and it got weird.
I mean, I feel like that's kind of what the internet is for.
Or maybe he just went to college and he's like, I'm done talking to this guy.
That's probably more likely that he grew up and I remain in the Bay Area living my Neverland life.
You're John Skulski at Twitter.
Yeah,
you also are a part of a sketch.
I'm part of Naptime Comedy, and that's at Naptime Comedy.
Yeah, they get so much play on this show.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, you might recognize that name.
Yeah.
And that's fun. And we're going to be doing some sort of newsletter coming up soon, so watch out for that.
Sweet, sweet.
Very cool.
And Max?
I don't have a name doppelganger. Mm-hmm. The closest I come is there's a guy named Max McCallman, which is literally just my name with M-A-N stuck on the end of it. And he wrote a book called Mastering Cheese about tasting and sampling cheese.
Oh, wow.
And I bought a copy. And I keep watching his touring schedule because if he comes to the Bay Area, I'm going to go get it signed and be like, can you make it up to Max McCall? And I know in my heart that he's not going to bat an eye. He's not going to care, but I'll feel good.
Yeah.
I do a show called Your Fucked Up Relationship every Friday night at 10:30 at Endgames Improv. I've been doing that for 7 years.
Whoa.
Yeah. But that's only half as long as I've been missing chickens.
That's right. So you can catch Max every Friday as well.
Yeah. I'm on Twitter as Radar Cowboy because I also have not grown up.
Yeah. Also on Instagram.
I'm on Instagram as Radar Cowboy. And I recently made my Instagram public.
Oh, was it not?
I didn't really get that there was a difference.
Is there a difference?
There's a switch.
Yeah, I think so, right?
But like but the thing is, like, you only you can only follow.
So you can follow. If you're public, anyone can follow you. And that was not true on mine. And I didn't understand that that's why I was getting these follow requests.
But if you're private, people have to ask you.
Yeah.
You have to approve.
Despite working in technology, I did not understand that. Yeah.
Max, it's so confusing. Like, because privacy, like, default privacy settings are, like, it's the new
hash
frontier.
Browns.
Hash browns. They're the new frontier of legal disputes. It's like, what is the new normal for privacy setting? And we'll get to that next week.
It's ice cubes.
We'll get to that next week after our break. So
thank you.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Bye.